Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad that you've joined us. I'm Lon. And so we're going to study today the Word of God. Remember what we study here. Every time we do this, we study what? Say with me. The Bible. Say with me. The whole Bible and nothing what? But the Bible. And then we apply it to our lives. And that's what we're going to do today. But before we do that, why don't we quiet our hearts before the Lord and commit this time in the Word of God to Him? Let's bow our heads. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, take just a moment, if you would, to say, Lord, prepare my heart for your Word today. Lord Jesus, make our hearts soft and malleable and open to your Word. Help us to understand better, Lord Jesus, how to pray today, which is what we're going to talk about, and why you ask us to pray like that. And Lord, help us to conform our prayer life to your Word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. Okay. So I've kind of already given away what we're going to study this morning. We're going to talk about prayer. Because in Luke chapter 11, where we are now, remember, we're getting some information from Luke's gospel that Matthew's gospel omits. So we're going to go back to Matthew, but right now we're in Luke. And here in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is going to teach us about prayer. It's a very rich passage we have for today. So, without any further ado, let's open with the Word of God. And as I said, we're in Luke chapter 11. Of course, I'm using the new King James Version of the Bible. And here we go. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John, that is the Baptist, also taught his disciples. Now, Jesus made prayer a way of life. Jesus just didn't pray every once in a while. The Bible is full of references to Jesus praying as usual, praying as he often did, because Jesus was a man of prayer. And you would think, being the second person in the Godhead and being God in the flesh, that Jesus would not need to pray. Jesus did not live his earthly life as the second person in the Godhead. He lived it under the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead. We know that from Philippians chapter 2, the kenosis, kenao, where Paul says that Jesus emptied himself. Kanao is the Greek word. Emptied himself of his prerogatives as the second person in the Godhead and lived as a human being, a perfect human being, but he lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so living as a human being, he needed to pray, and he understood that. More than that, Jesus enjoyed praying. I mean, do you really think that if the disciples perceived that praying was cruel and unusual punishment for Jesus, that they would have come to him excitedly after a prayer session and said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want some of the uncomfortableness and we want some of the suffering that we see you going through in prayer. Of course not. What they did is they came to him and they said, Lord, you enjoy praying so much. And your prayer life is such a joy to you. Teach us to pray with that same joy, of course. Okay, so those of us who approach prayer as drudgery, I gotta pray. Why? I don't know. As a Christian, I gotta pray. Why? The wheel illustration of the navigator says I gotta pray. Why? I don't know. I'm a Christian. Folks, we should look forward to prayer and praying and communing with the God of the universe. And I hope you do. but learning how to pray properly will help us. Okay, so this is the context here. And verse 2, Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" Now, this is the Lord's Prayer, but it's a little different than the Lord's Prayer that we find in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel goes on to say, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen," and to have a few different words and phrases in it than the Lord's Prayer in Luke's Gospel. And you say, "Yeah, why is that?" Friends, I want you to listen carefully. Listen to me very carefully. That's because the Lord's Prayer is not a talisman. It's not a rabbit foot. It's not a magical formula that you have to pray exactly right in order to get some kind of whiffle dust to fall from heaven. You know, there are Christian leaders and churches that'll say you need to pray an Our Father or four Our Fathers or six Our Fathers who art in heaven. And it's a very, you know, approach is very rote. You pray this and no. It's different here because these words in the Lord's Prayer are meant to communicate principles of prayer. Our Father, our relationship with God as his children through Christ, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, your name is holy and we approach you as the holy God of the universe. Your will be done, your kingdom come. Lord, you are the one who is sovereign. The words of the Lord's Prayer are communicating principles about God and his word and his world that we are to approach God with. But it's not meant to be a rigid formula. That's why Jesus says it differently in Luke. So, friends, there's no magic in going to the Lord and simply saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Okay, that's one. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Okay, that's two. I got to do six of these. No, folks, no. That is a misunderstanding and a misapplication of the Lord's Prayer. Now, I haven't made up my mind yet whether we're going to take the next few weeks and talk about the Lord's Prayer verse by verse, or whether I'll do that separately at some future point. I'll have to think about it and pray about it this week. But you understand what I'm saying to you about the Lord's Prayer. Okay, so those of you who were taught that it is this kind of ritualistic thing, get over it. It's not. Okay, now, verse 5. "And he said to them," now remember, Jesus is still talking about prayer. So what he's about to tell us in this little parable is about prayer. Okay, that's important. A text without a context is what? A pretext. So we don't take this little parable that's about to happen and just throw it up on the wall and say, "Well, what do you think?" Well, I don't know. What do you think it's about? No, it's about prayer. Okay, that's what Jesus is talking about. "And he said to them," verse 5, "which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.'" So here's the story. This man has a friend, arrives late at night. He has no food, no fresh bread to feed him. And he, the neighbor he goes to, will answer from within and say, "Do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you." Okay, so the man in the house says, "No. I say to you," Jesus says, now listen, "though he," the man in the house, "will not rise and give to him," the man who's asking, "because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, the man in the house will rise and give him as many loaves as he needs." Now, the New King James translates that word persistence. Because of the man's persistence. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about the man at the door asking for bread, not going away. And when the man inside the house says, no, I'm asleep, the man outside doesn't take no for an answer. But he keeps asking and he keeps asking and he keeps asking until the man inside finally gets up and gives him these loaves of bread. Now, Jesus goes on talking about prayer. He says, and I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. It will be like the man who comes to his neighbor and says, do it, please do it, please do it, again and again and again. Ask and seek and knock, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any of you who is a father, will he, the father, give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer the father, give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, being sinners, know how to give good gifts to your children when they ask, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, that's the end of Jesus' teaching on prayer here in Luke 11. What is he teaching us about prayer? Well, we're going to talk about that right now, because it's time to ask our most important question. And you know what it is, so are you ready? Come on now, here we go. One, two, three, so what? How sweet it is. Say that with me. How sweet it is. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Okay, so what is Jesus teaching us here? Well, he's teaching us a very important principle, as we said, about prayer. He's teaching us importunity. He's teaching us to ask God. Now, some people have a real problem with importunity. What does importunity mean? Well, this is the only place in the whole Bible that this word is used. It's a hapax legomenon, which you're like, what? That's a very fancy word for saying it's the only time in the Bible that this word appears. Anaides is the Greek word. And it means, what does importunity mean? I'll bet you in your everyday language, in your entire life, you have never used the word importunity. I'll bet you, you've never heard anybody else, except maybe in a sermon, use the word importunity. So what does this word mean? Well, it comes from a Latin word, meaning the Latin word importunitas, which means shamelessness, or persistent shamelessness, or boldness, shameless boldness. And the Greek word literally means to be shameless in asking for something or pursuing something. I looked up Webster's definition of importunity, and here's what Webster says. He said, persistence, especially to the point of annoyance. Annoying persistence. Unabashed, shameless, bold persistence. This is our word. This Greek word was used in the Iliad and the Odyssey by Homer to speak about the suitors for Penelope while Odysseus was away. You say, what? Remember, Odysseus went on this long journey and saw the Cyclops and all these people. The Seven Voyages of Sinbad is based on the Odyssey. You should watch it. It's a great old movie with all of the creatures in it and everything. Anyway, when he finally gets back, his wife Penelope, after years of being out there, sailing around and nobody knowing if he was alive, stayed faithful to him, and she had all these suitors all these boyfriends who wanted to become her husband. Homer uses this same Greek word of their persistence, their shameless persistence, their annoying persistence after Penelope. So this is what the Lord Jesus is telling us. You say, wait a minute. Doesn't the Gospel of Matthew say, Matthew 6, verse 8, that the Lord knows, God already knows what we need before we ever ask for it? It certainly does. Let's go back and read that. Put it on the screen for you. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus speaking, and Jesus says, "Therefore, do not be like these people who just do vain repetitions, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." You say, well, then you know what? Number one, I don't see why we need to ask God in prayer for anything anyway. I've heard people say this as Christians. I've heard preachers preach this. You don't need to ask God for anything in prayer because he already knows what you need before you ask him. I've heard people say as Christians, I ask God once for things. That's it. I don't need to keep asking him. I ask him once. He hears me. He knows exactly what I'm looking for, what I'm asking for. I don't need to ask again and again and again. Well, those are very theological sounding opinions. Very, if I may say, very pious opinions. So the Lord knows what I need before I ever ask him. I don't need, listen, but that's not what Jesus teaches. I'm sorry, it may sound pious. That's not what the Bible teaches about prayer. The Bible teaches that prayer, when we pray, one of the things we do in prayer is that we ask God for things. We supplicate and ask God for things. And the Bible says, here Jesus says, you're to do it with importunity. You're to ask God over and over and over and over and pray about it night after night and day after day, almost with shameless, annoying persistence as you pray for things before God. You say, why? I'll tell you in a minute, but let me first prove to you that that's right. Let's go to Luke chapter 18, okay? Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and look what the Bible says. It says, verse 1, "And Jesus spoke a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart." Now, here in the Greek language, ought always to pray. The Greek language is implying repetition, endless repetition. Not that we're always to pray about something, but we're always to pray about the same things. We're to keep on praying about those things until God answers. Now watch, look at the parable. "And there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God or regard man." This guy just didn't care. "And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Avenge me of my adversary.' And he would not for a while." He just said, no, for a while is very important here, meaning she kept on coming. No. What don't you understand about no? "But afterward, he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God or regard man, yet because this widow troubles me,'" some translations say "keeps bothering me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she wear me out." You get the picture here. I don't want to say too much. I'll get in trouble. But here's this woman who will not take no for an answer. And she comes and she bothers him and she asks him and she bothers him. And the next morning he shows up and she's at the door. The next morning he shows up and she's at the door. And eventually he says, is she driving me crazy? Just give her what she wants. I'll avenge her. Now watch. And the next verse says, "And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him. This is what Jesus is telling us, that we're to cry out day and night to God about our needs, not just once. Yes, he knows what we need, but he still tells us to do this. I'll tell you why in a minute. Even though he bears long with them, even though he may not answer right away, we're to keep asking and keep asking and keep praying about it and keep praying about it. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Well, this is the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us about prayer. We ask again, we ask again, we keep praying about it night after night. How many things have you prayed about for weeks or months or years even that God has answered finally in his timing, or that he still hasn't answered, but you're still praying them? Maybe it's for the salvation of one of your children, or the salvation of one of your grandchildren, or the salvation of your mother or your father. I prayed 22 years for the salvation of my mom, 7 years for my dad, 15 years for my brother, asking God every day to save them. And God did, but it was 22 years for my mom. Some of you have been praying like that, or for a problem at work, or for some health need, or for some financial need, or for something that you really would like to have that you're asking the Lord, if it's okay with him, to please give you, and on and on and on. About getting into a certain college or getting a job at a certain place or a promotion or whatever. This is good praying. Yes, this is what God wants us to do. Over and over and over, this woman came to him day after night, importunity, shameless, reckless, bold, persistence in prayer. Now, why? Why does God want us to do this? I mean, it doesn't seem to make sense. If God already knows what we need, why do we have to keep asking him? Why isn't just asking him once enough? Well, I think there are many reasons. One of them is that a lot of times when we pray about something over and over and over and over again for months or years, God sometimes changes the initial request and refines it into something more for his glory and more with purer motives. That happens. But even if you pray the same thing and you never change what you're asking God for, like the salvation of a loved one, why does God want us to pray it indefinitely like that? Very simple, friends. Because we are forgetful, sinful people. And if you remember the story in Luke 17 about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed, and as they were walking away, they were healed, and only one of them came back and fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him and kissed his feet and worshiped him. The other nine never even came back to say thank you. And Jesus says to the one leper, "Did I not heal 10 lepers? Where are the other nine?" My friends, there are some things that really matter to God. Respect matters to God. And you know what else matters to God? Appreciation. God wants us to thank and appreciate, thank him and appreciate what he's done for us. God loves a thankful heart. God loves a grateful spirit. One of the things that I think the Lord really does not like is an ungrateful spirit. I don't like it. I love to do things for my boys or for other people, but I don't like it when I do it and they're ungrateful. I don't like that. I bet you don't either. And God is that way in spades, my friends. That's why in the Old Testament, one of the offerings you would bring to the temple was a thank offering. Why? Because God loves to be thanked and loves us to show gratitude for what he does. And if you look in the book of Hebrews, I love this. So let's put it on the screen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Christ, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. God loves to be thanked for what He does and praised for what He does. Now, how does this relate to importunity? Very simple, my friends. We have very short memories. We, as sinners, can be very ungrateful and take things for granted all the time in our relationship with people and with God. And God doesn't want this. When God does something for you or me, He wants us to come back and always be grateful and thankful, even years later, for what He's done for us. And you know how to do that? You know how God figured out to do that with us? He makes us ask for these things again and again and again and again. And after you've asked for something, like my mother's salvation for 22 years, when God does it, folks, we are grateful. And we never forget to say thank you. And after we've prayed for other things for years or months or weeks, again and again, every day in our prayer time, over and over and over, we bring our request to God, like the widow to the judge, like the friend coming back to his neighbor asking for bread in Jesus' parable. Once we've done that as sinners, even as sinners, God rams this point home that He did this. That He did this. And after praying about it for months or years, folks, it helps us to be grateful and not to forget the great things God has done for us. And so this is importunity, praying with importunity. And this is biblical. So keep praying. Don't you give up. And don't feel like you're bothering God. I've had some people say to me, oh my gosh, I keep asking for the same thing. I feel like God, I'm bothering God and I'm annoying God. No, God wants you to annoy Him with your prayers. That's what, the judge and the widow. God wants you to be shamelessly persistent in your prayers to Him. And to the point of annoyance. This doesn't hurt God's feelings or bother Him. No, this is how He tells us to pray. So that, to repeat myself, when He answers, we never, ever forget where the answer came from. And we are grateful for the rest of our lives. Importunity. It's God's way of helping us with our selfish and sinful ungratefulness. And may it help you in your prayer life. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, make us men and women of importunity in prayer. Make us men and women who, Lord, we're like that widow in Luke 18. We're like the friend who comes to his neighbor in Luke 11. Lord, when we come to You, we ask, we seek, we knock, we cry out to You day and day after day for things, Lord Jesus, because that's what You tell us to do. And You tell us to do it because it's for our own good. It will make us thankful people for Your answers to prayer. And it will deliver us from ungratefulness in our lives, which we're all so prone to do. At least I know I am. Lord Jesus, thank You for teaching us today. And as I said, in prayer, make us men and women of importunity. Shameless boldness in prayer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Okay, well, thanks for being with us. Join us and go to Israel in April. And you know what I say, God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you. We'll see you next week, I hope, on Live with Vaughn.